This is Pocket Docs. I'm Natalie Kestacher. Can you remember a particular event or occasion that marked a transition in your life, that made you feel your life might never be the same again? For me, it was probably the day when I finally learned to ride a bicycle. I was 33 at the time, but that's another story. For writer John Connell, it was the night he guided the birth of his first calf. In this story, Passing the Torch, he invites us to share the experience.
I'm 29 and I've never delivered a calf myself. It's not much of a claim, as I'm a farmer's son, but that's all going to change now, because now I've got my arms in her passage and I'm trying to find the new calf's feet. I've birthed calves aplenty, yes, but always as the helper, holding a cow's tail up or pulling the calf at the last moment. My father's been in charge of the calving for 25 years, and when he wasn't, my brother took over. But now it's me. I'm home again in rural Ireland, here to write a novel, to try and make it as a writer. And in exchange for living at home, I help out on the farm. There's so much tied up in this birth for me, so much more than the cow knows. She moves suddenly and lets me know her strength and power.
Easy girl.
I must be quick. I must get the ropes around the calves' feet, slide them above the hock and pull them tight. Her amniotic fluids wet my hands, my arms, and I remember now the talk I've heard other men say, that the hand gets weak after a time, that the clasp of her vaginal embrace takes the power from your hand, and I think too that I must be quick lest the calf could die. I think for a moment that I'm glad I'm alone and doing this myself. And I could call for help, I could, but then I would still not be tested, not be able to do this myself. I'll call no one. I grasp the first foot and slip the rope on. I've been watching the cow all night. I knew she was going to calve. She was sick, as Mam calls it, patrolling her pin, not eating her silage or nuts or water. And then I saw that her passage was broke down, her vagina was dilated, sausage-like, and so I moved the other cow and her calf from the calving pin and let her in. My father, Tom, is away. He's at the sheep mart with his brother, Davy. They go to the sheep sales every week. We have a flock and he does too, and they buy and sell the animals for fun. It gives them a hobby and something to do together, and above all, it makes my father happy. For he's a social man. I never begrudge him those trips, for I know they do him good, and that he won't be in the mood to fight after them. That, above all, is the most important. For this calving season, we're trying not to fight. And so far, it's working. I can't say that we're yet friends, but a respect has come between us that was never there before. It's a small and delicate thing that's still fragile. I won't examine it more closely tonight. I have the other foot. I take the second rope from the side of the gate and slide it onto the calf's leg. It slips and falls and I curse and I think perhaps I do need help, but it's too late now. I must do this myself. To wait might mean death, and then I shall be called a fool for trying on my own and there shall be a huge row. No, I must focus. The cow's nearly finished the nuts I've given her to keep her calm. When they're gone, she'll remember her distress and begin to thrash and kick again, and then the job will be all the harder.
Easy now.
I stoop low, take the rope and turn to my work again, rising as a man.
There.
The rope's on the second foot and I pull gently. The calf is big, he'll not come himself. I'll need the jack. I take the mechanical winch, placing it on her hips, hook the ropes into the slots and begin to winch.
Come on,
I must do this right, I tell myself, but I'd seen it done so many times, I know my actions. The biggest pull will be his head. Once I have that out, the rest should follow, save the hips, which sometimes can be trouble. I winch the jack 5 times and hear the sprocket chime out in the quiet shed. I pull down and as I do, the cow bellows low, makes a noise I don't know. It's a noise of pain and strangeness.
There, there.
There, there, I say, in clucking words. The legs emerge more fully now, but still no head, and so I leave her down again. And I can see his nose, and it looks so flat, and perhaps his head is squashed. The cow bellows low again, and I feel her feet tremble. Don't go down on me, I say. I let the pressure off once more, and she stands to again, and we repeat our chores. Her contractions push the calf as much as she can, but he's beyond contractions now, for he's too big and her job is at a point that it can't be undone. I jack once more. The cow roars. Mam will waken now, I tell myself. She's such a light sleeper. It was she I turned to for advice earlier tonight, to make sure I didn't take the calf too soon. She's wiser than all of us with them. She's known cows all her life. But again, I remind myself, this is my job. I pray, or at least I think I do. The head emerges, and I have no time to thank God now, for I must jack with all my might and keep going, for the cow could give way and the worst happen, or the calf might die. I don't know. I see his tongue wag, and I know he's alive, and I pull still stronger now, and my arm is growing tired. I jack, and he's emerging now, solid and strong, and he's red like his mother, with a white sketch on his face. He's the son of our stock bull, of that I'm sure, for I can see the old bull's face in his. His hips are big, and the winch of the jack is at its end. The cow's in distress, and I remember now Dad's words to twist the calf, for that will bring the hips out, and so I do. I take him now in both my arms, and the adrenaline is such I don't feel his weight. I carry him to the fresh bedding, jack, ropes and all. I must move quickly now still, for we have lost calves with fluid on their lungs before. I pour water in his ears, and he shakes his head and comes to moving life. And I smile now, for I'm happy. But he coughs, and I can hear the fluid, so I take the breathing mask that we have for this job. It's a small tube with a mask on its end that fits over the calf's muzzle. You extend the pump and its vacuum pulls the fluid up, and the calf, in theory, should cough up the fluid. I do this 3 times, but the fluid doesn't come up and he wheezes now. And so I pick him up with a roar, and my strength is such that I carry him in both my arms and sling him across the gate. I've seen this done before. But the calf's always been lifted by 2 men, and so I know that I'm strong now. I massage his lungs and slap them, and soon I see the mucus emerge, and then he lifts his head, and I know that he's won. I carry him back to the fresh bedding. He's alive and safe, and I'm so happy. I'll have to tell my girlfriend Vivian. I'll have to send her a message on Facebook, but my job isn't yet done. There's blood on my arms and face, but it's a pleasing blood. It's the blood of life. I rinse my hands in a barrel of water. The frosts come and the water is cold. It stings. When a cow gives birth, her milk is of a special kind. We call it beestings. This colostrum is thick and yellow, and the calf must have it straight away, for it keeps them alive and gives them the necessary antibodies to ward off infections and sickness. The first few hours in a calf's life are its most important. If these things are not done, if he's not fed, his navel not treated, any number of things could kill him. The stomach tube is a plastic pipe connected to a bag. The pipe's inserted down the calf's throat and the milk goes directly to his stomach. This is a dangerous job, for if the pipe is inserted incorrectly, it could go into the calf's lung, and thus, when the milk flows, kill him instantly. But right now, I'm not worried about that, for I must milk the cow. I wet my hands and take her teats between my fingers. I strug them, that's what we call milking, and after 2 or 3 pulls, the milk squirts out. I massage them now, as I have seen my father do, and find the natural rhythm. Soon my jug is filling. The bee stings is thick and warm like custard. The cow makes to kick, but I'm too quick and rescue my jug. Easy girl, I say, there. And talk sweet nonsense to her.
Come on.
The calf rustles in the straw, and she turns and shouts to him, and he cries a small plaintive cry, as much to say, I am alive. I steady myself again and move on to her next teat and strug and milk, and soon the milk is squirting into my jug, singing in the age-old noise of milk pouring onto itself. It's a noise all farmers know. It's the sound of my childhood and my parents and theirs before them, and I think now that this family that I'm in have been doing this for so long. So many sleepless late nights in untold sheds and barns and before grandfather who knows on the cottage floor by the fire in the old house. Perhaps the times have changed, but not the animals, nor the births or deaths. My jug is overflowing and I carry it to the stomach tube and fill it. I take another jug and by the time it's full I've broken the seal of all four tits and so they will be easier for the calf to suck. The cow's teats are not so big, and that's a good thing, for I've seen cows with big long dangly ones that calves struggle to hold in their mouths, and that creates its own problems. I must stomach tube him now. This too is a first for me, and so I must be careful. I sit atop his back so that he cannot struggle. I lift his head, prise open his mouth with one hand and insert the tube with the other. "That's it," I say. And I don't know if I'm talking to the calf or to myself, but together we're doing this, and slowly now the pipe moves down his throat, and I think it's not in his lungs, and I lift the bag into the air and watch the colostrum drain away down the tube and inside him, and I know the end of the job is near.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God, I say in a way that I've heard others speak, and I'm glad of this automatic phrase, for it is the truest word that I can find in this moment. I sit back down, resting my back against the whitewashed wall of the calving house, and with that the half door opens and it's my father, bright and smiling.
She calved.
Just pulled him there.
You should have called your brother.
Can't always be calling people. Sometimes you just have to do it yourself.
Sometimes you do.
And I know now that something has happened, and I'm glad. He opens the half door and walks in. He's in his jobbing coat. His blue velvety coat that he wears to the mart. Had you a good night? I ask.
Grand.
Any sheep?
No, but it was good to have a look.
I unloose the cow and leave she and her newborn to each other. She licks him, and despite her size, is gentle and soft. Nature will do the rest. I'm 29, but I am so much more this night.
John Connell and Passing the Torch. This is Pocket Docs. I'm Natalie Kesticher.
Do you guys have Barramundi here?
This is Mike and Timothy.
Potato Scallops.
The unlikely hosts of a new RN podcast. It's called The Real Thing.
Oh, mama, you skipped over too high.
Stories.
Intimate stories, scenes, characters, places.
Born of Australia.
We're heading out into the corners to find the real Australia.
The Real Thing.
That's us.
Subscribe now.